7:13, two inmates remain on the loose from the Orleans Parish Justice Center. Rosalind Cook joins us now, adjunct professor of political science at Tulane. Good morning, Professor. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Thomas?
I'm okay. I wanted to talk to you about the, first of all, not only about moving forward, what this escape could do politically to the sheriff's race and so forth, but just historically, because you've been here a while, about the history of the criminal sheriff's office and going back to, I don't know if you want to go back as far as, I guess, Fody would be as far as people remember. What would be the history of this office and the prison and or if its genesis from Orleans Parish Prison to what is it now, the Orleans Justice Center?
Correct, the Orleans Justice Center.
What was the reputation of Fody and what was it like under him? Because we tend to forget, right? And we just look at where we are without as a snapshot without realizing it's a motion picture, I guess is what I'm trying to say, Professor.
Right, and if any of us as young students visited the OPP under Fody, we, of course, very, very early in our visit realized it was a horrible facility. It's almost the idea of scared straight. Students were oftentimes brought there to show what could happen to you. And it was a facility that no one would want to be in. Now, of course, no one wants to be in a prison. But, of course, the new facility that was built 10 years ago has no comparison to what the old jail was like.
So, politically, Charles Fody was a very powerful man, correct?
Very powerful. Now, when he got to on the state level, he lost much of that power. And then, of course, after Hurricane Katrina, when he insisted on prosecuting individuals that had been involved with Katrina, and this would be like some of the medical staff, the doctors and the nurses at certain hospitals, and he was trying to prosecute them and did for the problems with Katrina and evacuating patients. I think he lost, of course, lots of support because many people that had lived through Katrina realized that this was not a textbook strategy on what you had to do. And he sort of faded away from the political scene.
So then politically, Marlon Gusman runs for sheriff, right? What happened in that race? Tell me, refresh
your memory. Well, of course, as we know, Marlon Gusman had been politically connected with Mark Morial. And Marlon Gusman, of course, did not have experience as a sheriff. But some would suggest, even though there were quite a bit of criticism about him, that he certainly had somewhat a hold on the facility, and that the criticisms were there, but nothing to the extent of what's happening right now.
So tell me what led to Marlon Gusman losing to Susan Hudson. What was the political or the political underpinnings there? What was the atmosphere like? What happened?
Well, the climate at that point was, of course, individual voters wanted change. And I think that in that sweep of wanting changes to the structure, of course, previously to that, there was a criminal sheriff and a civil sheriff, but the changes in the structure that people desired after Katrina and just wanting change, I believe, probably had a lot to do with Marlon Gusman's loss to Susan Hudson.
Tell me about the consolidation for people that don't remember of the criminal and civil sheriff's office. Did that add more responsibility to the sheriff, and did that happen while Marlon Gusman was sheriff? And was it the election an offshoot of him because of increased, I guess, responsibilities with the civil sheriff as well? Take me through all of that, if you would, please, Professor.
Yes, there was a change to making the criminal sheriff and the civil sheriff under one. You know, we previously, of course, had a civil sheriff, Paul Balto, mm-hmm. who was quite popular. And then when the election came, of course, combining those positions, which, of course, we can't look at that in a bubble either. For example, we used to have numerous assessors, and the change was to bring that under one assessor. So there were quite a bit of structural changes to the government of Orleans Parish. And this, of course, brought about the change. And again, as I said, although Marlon had quite a bit of criticism, we saw a problem, certainly, in the Justice Center, but we did not have this in-your-face breakout or whatever at the time. Now, of course, we had pictures of some of the so-called residents leaving the facility and then coming back after maybe a night of partying.
Guns in the prison, right?
Guns in the prison, mm-hmm. correct. So there certainly was lots of incidents that were happening that made people apprehensive. So again, the idea of changing, I think most individuals wanted change, and Susan Hudson, of course, was the personification of that change.
Real quick before we go to the break, Professor, what led to the consent decree being imposed?
The consent decree, as you know, with the federal government, when they come in to investigate or to try to make changes in the structural institutions, can be, of course, with the police force that we certainly know quite a bit about the consent decree concerning the police force, and also the consent decree extended to other, such as the civil and the criminal sheriffs.
So what that was under Marlon Gusman's leadership that the consent decree came in, or was it Fody?
It was, it would have been under Marlon Gusman because it happened after Hurricane Katrina.
Okay, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. We'll look ahead because, you know, you're saying that the people were looking for change. And I would have to believe, looking ahead to the next election after Mayor Cantrell, after the jailbreak, that you would think people in New Orleans would be looking for change, but is that necessarily going to play out or not? Rosalind Cook, our guest, adjunct professor of political science at Tulane, 722 Traffic Now, WWL. 726 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Rosalind Cook, adjunct professor of political science at Tulane. We always like to look back to know where we got to where we are today. And Professor, when it comes to the elections that are coming up, you know, Susan Hudson suspended her campaign. I don't know, depending on when or if somebody's recaptured, how that affects things. How do you see that playing out? And when it comes to the voters of Orleans Parish, you would think after Mayor Cantrell and a dysfunction there that they would be in the mood for a change. But what I don't know, how would that manifest itself? You got some thoughts for me?
Well, typically, the incumbent has the advantage, the individual that's holding the office. Unless there's some sort of scandal or real, real situation that people decide to vote for the incumbent. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, qualifying isn't until July 9th through the 11th, which gives us still a little bit of time for interested individuals to jump into the race. Right now, of course, we have a few, Michelle Woodbrook, which was the former interim superintendent of NOPD. She, of course, had announced prior to this incident, and then she came out almost immediately with a statement after the incident. And then, of course, Susan Hudson struck back at her, suggesting that this was all political. In addition, there had been interest shown by Edwin Shorty, who's a constable, and he was a former sheriff deputy, and also Julian Parker, who was a former criminal district judge. So we have time for others to decide to qualify before that period is over. I would think that certainly there's going to be some individuals that this will play a major factor in how they decide to vote. Others, because it's still a little while, if there's individuals that really don't pay too much attention, although this story has been throughout the conventional media and also quite a bit on social media. And looking at social media, it's interesting to see what some of the comments are concerning this whole situation. So we'll have to still wait and see if there are other candidates. We'll also have to wait and see if Susan Hudson when and if she decides right now, as you said, her campaign has been suspended. So we'll have to wait and see what her decision will be. So it's going to be an interesting race no matter what. And as you said, people oftentimes do want change, and that, of course, would work in this case against Susan Hudson. Of course, it worked in her favor when she was running against Marlon Guzman. You know, she was a relatively new name in many individuals' minds, though, of course, she had been involved in other things as Inspector General. But this time, her name is out there, but it's no longer a name that will bring positive reaction to many individuals.
Thank you, Professor.
Her name is now associated with this.
I appreciate your time. Thank you, Rosalind Cook, Professor of Political Science at Tulane, 7:30, time for WWL First News.